The Victorian government is under pressure to amend legislation to ensure that victims of police brutality are compensated. The United Nations Human Rights Committee issued a damning finding concerning the police assault of Corinna Horvath in 1996. The Victorian police officers said they couldn't afford to pay the compensation. Now legal groups are calling on the Victorian government to follow the lead of Queensland and New South Wales in closing this loophole. Rachel Brown reports.
Corinna Horvath was 21 when police officers kicked in the door of her Somerville home.
My face was beaten to a pulp, my nose was broken, suspected broken jaw.
She told the ABC's 7:30 program her friends had to fill in the blanks as to what happened after, as she was beaten unconscious.
Jenkin had handcuffed me and he had punched me in the face probably close to a dozen times while I was handcuffed and he was on my back. Sergeant Christensen had walked past and smacked me in the nose with a baton, and that's where my nose split. So, yeah, between the pair of them, they'd got into me good and proper.
The bashing was all over an alleged traffic infringement and, Ms Horvath says, a police officer's grudge. The county court ordered Victoria Police and the state government pay her $315,000 in compensation, but the officers said they couldn't afford it, and Victoria said it's not responsible for officers who act outside reasonable procedures. So now the UN court, which usually deals with dictators and warlords, has ruled Victoria has breached its obligations under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. The UN Human Rights Committee says Victoria should be vicariously liable for police misconduct and should amend its laws to that effect. One of Ms Horvath's lawyers, Tamar Hopkins, says Victoria has been taking advantage of what she calls a bizarre 1906 common law case, which says the state is not liable for the actions of its police officers.
In many states and territories in Australia, that common law position has been abrogated by statute, and the best examples are Queensland and New South Wales. But in Victoria, we're left with it being only partially abrogated, and that is that the state will pay the compensation awarded to a victim only where the police are acting in good faith. So this means that police who engage in human rights abuses, the state just simply has until now wiped its hands of responsibility.
The UN court also ruled Victoria Police should reopen its investigation of the officers involved in the attack, none of whom were disciplined, and some still work there. Ms Hopkins says Victoria can't have it both ways. Either the officers were so out of line that they're sacked, or they're backed, which means the state being responsible for their mistakes.
Extraordinary, the police disciplinary process is not able to cope with this situation. And the fact is it's not an isolated example. The state frequently relies on that defence to not pay people and yet continues to employ them. It's crying out for reform. And finally, we have the UN saying, yes, Australia must change not only its compensation scheme, but it must relook at its disciplinary process.
Victoria Police is refusing to comment. The state government is reviewing the finding and has 6 months to respond. Solicitor John Souter from Nevin Lenny Gross has acted for a number of clients who've been assaulted by police, and he's welcoming the UN decision.
The police are employees of the state of Victoria, and they should be held vicariously liable for their actions.
Is this the same as, say, me slapping an interviewee senseless and then the ABC saying, well, no, we're not liable?
It's akin to that, absolutely. It is a glaring loophole because employers are vicariously liable for the actions of their employees. If an employee causes an injury to another co-employee as a result of that person's negligence, then it's the employer who's made vicariously liable. It ought to be no different in these circumstances.
What would you say to the government in terms of thinking about following the lead of Queensland and New South Wales?
I think the government ought to accept ultimately the umpire's decision and not hide behind the veil that it pretends to hide it upon in terms of immunities conferred upon it by either the common law or the Police Regulation Act 1958.
Because how do we look in the international community if we don't abide by this recommendation?
Very poorly, in my view.
That's Melbourne solicitor John Souter ending that report from Rachel Brown.